KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
It's clear and 37 degrees in Atlantic. We look for partly cloudy skies today, a high near 70. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Wellcove, Home Health of Red Oak. Experience the spirit of Wellcove. Police in Creston say a man from Texas was arrested twice this morning. At around 2:30 a.m., 38-year-old John C. Jordan of Katy, Texas, was arrested for OWI first offense. Jordan, who was released from the Union County Jail on $1,000 bond, was arrested again just before 6 a.m., also on an OWI charge, and was being held at the jail in Creston on $1,000 bond. Creston police report also an ex-employee of Relewis Refrigeration Incorporated of Creston failed to return a company vehicle and trailer after he was released from employment. A 2015 Chevy Silverado truck and 2010 H&H cargo trailer containing tools and company equipment valued at $85,000 were later recovered in Texas. And a Creston resident reported to police late Tuesday morning that someone broke into her camper and stole a Nintendo DS, MacBook Air laptop computer, and a Black & Decker drill. The loss was estimated at $530. The theft took place sometime between 10 p.m. Friday and 7 a.m. Saturday. Shelby County Emergency Management Service officials, fire chiefs, law enforcement, and emergency management will begin twice weekly updates on local fire conditions. Signs placed strategically in East Community, primarily at the fire stations, will indicate what the fire danger is for any particular day. The program, implemented in 2010, resulted in a reduction of fire responses countywide. The continuous bi-weekly fire danger assessments are provided by email to the media, fire chiefs, and others who support their program on their web pages through cable and radio information pages. Emergency Management Coordinator Bob Seibert says that has reduced the need for the county to implement a complete burn ban. If you live in Shelby County and need to burn a pile of brush, debris, or old buildings, contact the Emergency Management Agency at 755-2124. The dispatchers will obtain the location and nature of the planned burn and will provide you with the fire chief contact information. Through the expanded communication process, Seibert says they've found that some burns can be rescheduled to a different time of day where wind and moisture levels are more acceptable. The fire chiefs can have input as to how the burn can be conducted safely and be aware of the activity should it become unmanageable. The Atlantic School District's Board of Education will hold its regular monthly meeting this evening at a different location. Normally, the board meets at the Media Center at the high school, but this evening at 5:30, their session will be in the Media Center at Schuller Elementary. During the meeting, the board will hear from Derek Beyer with regard to construction technology. They'll also act on approving various contracts and or letters of assignment for 9 district personnel, including Emma Walker as assistant varsity girls basketball coach and co-freshman volleyball coach, Michelle McLaren, co-freshman volleyball coach, and 6 food service personnel, as well as an amended contract for Kelly Jewell. The board will also act on approving various district policies, including one pertaining to credit cards, and on approving the district's annual report. The report from Superintendent Dr. Michael Amstein says during the 2014-15 school year, the Atlantic School District saw increased student performance in reading, math, and science on the Iowa assessments and continued to increase the graduation rate while decreasing the district's dropout rate. And high school students continued to score above the state average on the ACT. Amstein says also over the past year and into next year, the district will continue to reduce costs associated with operating expense. He went on to say that funding from the state over the past 6 years continues to be quite inadequate, and as like other districts across the state, our school district has experienced some financial pains. Amstein says over the past 6 years, the district's unspent balance, that's the maximum amount the state allows districts to spend on educating students, has been decreasing. And at the end of the 2014-15 school year, the unspent budget authority still remains in the upper range that is recommended by the Iowa Association of School Boards. The district, according to Amstein, will continue to look for ways to protect the unspent balance and still provide the educational opportunities for our students to assist them in becoming the best and brightest in Iowa. The Iowa West Foundation Board of Directors recently awarded $6.6 million in grants and initiatives for the second cycle of 2015. The funding will assist 22 nonprofit organizations and governmental entities with projects and programs that directly impact southwest Iowa and eastern Nebraska. The city of Clarinda received $55,975 for a downtown facade revitalization, while the Audubon Recreation Foundation received a $50,000 toward their proposed recreation center. The towns of Corning, Neola, Red Oak, and Shelby also received grants toward placemaking projects. Healthy families was another recurring theme for this cycle of grant funding. Heartland Family Service received $300,000 to administer years 2 and 3 of the Children's Mental Health Initiative at the Lewis Central Community Schools. It's a 3-year pilot program based on the need for school-based mental health services as identified by local superintendents. Micah House received $45,000 for general operating funds, and Council Bluffs Vocational Development Center, or VODEC, was awarded $25,000 for residential home renovation. The second funding cycle also included initiative dollars for the construction of a new veterans building in Council Bluffs. The complete list of grant recipients can be found on the same story under the news page at KJAN.com. And the Iowa Department of Transportation Tuesday approved Revitalize Iowa's Sound Economy, or RISE, grant program funds for projects in Denison and Ottawa. In Denison, a little more than $138,500 from the city's share of the RISE fund was approved for an immediate opportunity grant to assist in the construction of a southbound left turn lane on U.S. Highway 30, U.S. 59, Iowa 141 at Boyer Valley Road in Denison on the south side of town. Officials say the project is necessary to provide improved access to the expansion of Quality Food Processors, a meat product processor, to support the creation of 20 new full-time jobs and more than $21.7 million in associated capital investment. The project is expected to be completed by October of next year. In Ottawa, up to $129,702 from the city's share of the RISE Fund was approved for a local development grant to assist in paving of about 940 feet of Cameo Street on the west side of town. That project is necessary to provide access to more than 2 acres for light industrial purposes, and it's also expected to be completed by October of 2016. The news was brought to you by Wellcove Home Health of Red Oak at 1600 Summit in Red Oak. Give them a call at 712-623-2500. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.